You're going to want to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter. That's where we're going to be this morning, the beginning of the chapter, the first 8 verses. I told you earlier that about our revival, it's Chris Gregg. I couldn't remember Chris when I was trying to tell you who's going to come and do the music. It's a worship leader at Logan Street Baptist Church in Mount Vernon. And so he'll be here on Sunday evening, Monday evening, Tuesday evening. He can't be away from Logan Street Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but he'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday evening. And those services, those evening services, will be at 7 o'clock. So we've got time to get for that, and that's part of why we're focusing on prayer and the 40 days of prayer. I'm going to be talking to you the next few weeks about why we pray, and they're looking at different aspects from the Scripture about why we pray. It's not from the 40 days of prayer material. I didn't want to repeat what you're going to be hearing on Sunday night from Rick Warren and the videos that are associated with that study, but I wanted to keep our thoughts on prayer, because we've been talking about prayer quite a bit, and we've been trying to get us as a church to be more focused on prayer. And we've challenged you we've given you some points to some things to pray about every day if you can. And I feel like I feel like I can tell that some of you are praying more than you were and more focused on our church. And I feel that in our services, and I see that in some other ways around us. So pray for me this morning. I've kind of had this cold for a while, and it's better, but it's still here, but it manifested itself in a different way this weekend. I just could not sleep. And Friday night, I maybe slept for 45 minutes. When you've experienced that, you know it just saps all your strength out of you. And so I had a rough day yesterday trying to get things done that I need to do. There were some things I was going to do that I could not do because I hadn't had any rest. But I got some rest yesterday, finally afternoon, and slept some last night, but I've not been feeling good this morning. Actually, as I stand up here before you, I feel better than I have in a couple of days. Really the same thing during Sunday school hour. So I think that's just the Spirit of God trying to give me the strength to do what I need to do today. But pray for me, please. This morning we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, asking the question, why pray? We're living in a culture right now that has become very skeptical about prayer. If you follow the news and you pay attention to what's going on, you probably are aware that there's been a refrain that is voiced in the media and voiced by some politicians and by some other people that when there's a tragic event, something that happens in our nation, and one of our responses is, we will pray for you, that they are mocking that. They're mocking that, and they're saying, they're basically giving the message that prayer does nothing, that prayer does not matter. And we, in the church, we need to fully grasp and believe and exercise that belief and that faith that prayer does matter. It makes a difference. And when something happens and people are grieving and we tell them, we're going to pray for you, to understand that it does make a difference in their lives. And that there are people who are directly impacted to move towards God and to glorify God when these events happen. And part of that is because people are praying for them. This morning and in the next few weeks, we're going to be asking this question, why pray? And we're going to be finding some different answers from the Scriptures about why we are to pray. And this morning, we're going to see here in Luke 18 that one of the reasons we pray is to remain faithful. One of the reasons that we come to God and we enter into His presence in prayer, we seek His presence, and we bring our petitions. One of the reasons that we pray is to remain faithful. Now, that's kind of a simple answer. That's kind of a simple answer, and it is an incomplete answer. It's certainly not the only reason and the whole reason that we pray, but it's one of the answers, and it's an important answer to the question, why do we pray? So Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And we'll start there with the first verse. Luke is going to give us this in the words of Jesus. He, Jesus, told them a parable to the effect, this is important words right here, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And those two things go together. In verse 2, he said, in a certain city, this is the story, the parable, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. Verse 4, for a while he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. In verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Wow. Okay. So Jesus is telling a story and he's relating it to prayer. That Luke introduces the story by telling us that Jesus told this story to teach us to always pray and to not lose hope. And then he goes into the story and Jesus is talking about prayer and he is telling this parable. And then he ends the story. After telling us the story, this question is asked. Will Jesus find faith? Will Jesus find faith? When Jesus comes again, when he returns, will he discover faith? Will he find people waiting for him, watching for him with faith? Will Jesus find faith? There's a couple of things here that I want us to look at and to see. When it tells us when the Son of Man comes, it says when the Son of Man comes. So when it's those words right there, when the Son of Man comes, assumes and implies and teaches us that Jesus will return. Jesus will return. Christ is coming again. Now, first said that over 2,000 years ago. And that's a long time. And there's no question that there are those who have decided, oh, he's not coming back. There's some who've decided that what the Bible teaches about Jesus coming again is not a literal coming. It's a spiritual coming. And there's some people who kind of believe that the return of Christ is manifest and exhibited in the church. That the church is Christ in the world. And, you know, there are a lot of things out there where people have gotten off track trying to justify the promise that Jesus is coming back with, well, we've been waiting a long time and he's not here yet. But we need, part of remaining faithful is believing the words of Jesus. And Jesus said that he is coming back. Jesus will return. And so here Luke says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes. Jesus spoke of his coming several times, many times. As he was here on the earth in John 14:3. One of the best examples is it's a tremendous promise. John 14:3 said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's telling the disciples, I'm leaving. I'm going to be with the Father, And I am going to go, and part of the thing I'm going to be doing while I'm there with the Father is preparing a place for you. And so he says, if I'm doing that, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus said that he was coming again, that he would return. Luke talks about it in Acts chapter 1. Puts this in the words of the angels that appear to the disciples as they watch Jesus ascending into heaven. Acts 1 verse 11 says, they, the angels, also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So those guys, they were standing there on the hill. Jesus is standing there talking to them. He gives them the Great Commission. He tells them to go out into the world and be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And then they watch him with their eyes ascend into and through the clouds until they could see him no more. And then while they're still standing there going, what did we just see? What just happened here? And angels appear to them and begin speaking to them and giving them instructions. And one of the things the angel says is, Jesus will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. When Jesus comes again, he will be seen. We will see him. It's not going to be secret. It's not going to be behind the scenes. It's not going to happen and people are going to miss it. And Jesus came and nobody knew. When Jesus comes again, he will be seen. We'll see him come. Paul talks about it. And says he's going to come with a trumpet sound. He's going to come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and chapter 5, it's the last part of chapter 4 and the first part of chapter 5, Paul said this, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. You know, the Bible teaches us that if we die before Jesus comes back, we're going to be in his presence. To be away from the body is to be with the Lord. But when Jesus comes back, our bodies are going to be resurrected from our graves. And that's going to be pretty amazing. But I tell you what, I think I'd just as soon be standing here and hear the voice of the archangel declaring that he's coming and hear the trumpet of God sound and look up and here's Jesus coming. What an amazing thing. This is the voice of the archangel with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that we are who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The Bible teaches over and over and again. It's one of the main teachings in the New Testament. The doctrine of the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, is very important. So we need to grasp that. We need to believe that. We need to live like that, like we believe that Jesus is coming again. Jesus will return. And when he comes again, he's going to come to earth. He's going to bring both judgment and salvation. We talked about that a little bit last week when we were talking about Jesus as a warrior. He's coming again. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth is the question. What kind of question is that? You know, there are thousands of churches on this planet. There are millions, billions of people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. Will he find faith on earth? What does it mean? Well, at least a part of it means this, that remaining, he's pointing out to this, that remaining faithful can be difficult. That remaining faithful while we wait for Christ to come again can be difficult. It is not a given that everybody who professes Christ, everybody who says, I've been born again, everybody who says, Jesus is my Lord, everybody who says, I'm a Christian, is going to remain faithful. Remaining faithful can be difficult. As we wait for Christ to come again, it can be difficult to stay the course, to stay faithful as we wait. Part of this is because there's a delay. There's a delay in Jesus' return. Now, I need to explain that a little bit, but we see here in the verses, in verse 7 and 8, we see as Jesus is explaining the story that he told, the parable he told, he says, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? And then he says, I tell you, will give justice to them speedily. So when we say that, when I say there's a delay in Jesus' return, I'm talking about perspective, okay? I'm talking about from the human perspective, from the flesh perspective, that there's a delay. When we say that there's a delay in Jesus' return, doesn't mean that Jesus said, I'm going to be coming back at this time and he didn't show up. You've been there. You were supposed to be somewhere at a certain time and things happened. Or maybe you lost track of time. But anyway, you realize I'm going to be late. You know, before cell phones, we just showed up late. Now, you know, we grab our phone out and we call people and we say, hey, I'm running behind. I've been delayed. My mom and dad until they moved to the assisted living in Carbondale, they lived in DuCoin, Illinois for a long time. Pam's dad lives there, still does. If you lived in Perry County back in the 70s and 80s and the 90s, you knew what it meant to be delayed because the trains were always across the highway sitting there, just sitting there. They pulled those trains in downtown DuCoin and just sat there. And so any time you were trying to get from one side of town to the other in DuCoin, you always knew there was a chance, if there was a train, you were going to be late. You were going to be delayed. That's not what we're talking about when we say Jesus is delayed, his return is delayed. We're just talking about from the perspective of human life. When God says soon, when God says, I'm going to do this with speed, his perspective is very different than ours. He's talking from an eternal perspective. And the Bible literally says that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. 1,000 years is like a day. God lives in eternity, is not bound by time. And his perspective of time is very different than yours and ours, than yours and mine. So from God's perspective, there's been no delay. But from a human perspective, there's been a delay. And we're humans and we get impatient. We get impatient. And so to us, it seems like a long wait. And it can be difficult to remain faithful in this long wait. We need to believe that Jesus is going to return. We also need to believe he's going to return at the perfect time, God's time. When it is the right time, Jesus will not be late. He will not be delayed. When God says it is time to go, Jesus is coming. Okay? But from our perspective, it seems like there's been a delay. And it can be difficult to remain faithful. Another reason it's difficult to remain faithful because there's a disregard for Jesus' gospel. There is a disregard for the gospel. Do you know who Drew Brees is? He's quarterback in the NFL. He's been around a long time. Kind of old for an NFL player. He's been really good. He's passed for I don't know how many thousands of yards. He plays for the New Orleans Saints. He's been a great quarterback. He's a believer in Jesus Christ. This past week, Drew Brees made a post, I think, on social media. It might have been he was speaking somewhere, but where I saw it was a post on social media. Drew Brees made a post encouraging the young people of America to read the Bible. Using his notoriety, that he's well-known athlete, used that as a podium to get a message out there to young people in our country, encouraging them to read the Bible. You know what they did? What they said about him? You know what's been going on? Did you catch this in the news? They are ripping him to shreds and calling him a hater. They're saying that he's promoting hate. And that he's telling these kids to learn about hate. All he said was, I want to encourage you to know and read the Bible. And the boomerang was, Drew Brees is a hater because he's telling people to read the Bible. You see, there is a tremendous disregard and hostility for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a very impatient, unbelieving, unfaithful world. And there's a great widespread disregard for the truth and for the promises and for the value of the gospel. And when other people around us are playing their worldly games and they seem to be doing well, and they seem to be, people are disregarding the gospel, seem to be doing well with wealth and with power and with pleasure and with reputation, it can become very difficult to stay true to the teachings of Jesus. When we see people who say, reading the Bible is teaching hate, and these people seem to have influence and power, and they seem to be doing well in life, it can get very difficult to stay true and stay faithful. And I want to tell you, that's Satan's plan. The whole reason for all of this is to keep people silent, to keep people who know Jesus silent, to keep people who know about the Scripture silent. They want us to stay silent. They don't want us to lift up the name of Jesus. They do not want us to share the gospel. They do not want us to promote Christ and His grace and His love. They want us to just get together in our churches on Sunday morning and never talk to anybody outside of here. And they have discovered that accusing people of hate is a good way to get people to shut up. Because we don't want to be called haters. We don't want people to say that we hate someone because we believe the Bible. So one of the reasons that remaining faithful can be difficult is because of this tremendous disregard for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we engage in this waiting, we're here, we're worshiping, we're praying, we're trying to be obedient, we're living for Jesus, trying to live for Jesus, and we're waiting, and we're watching, and we're looking for Jesus' return, what do we do? What do we do? Well, we keep the faith, and we stay faithful in prayer. Because real faith endures and is rewarded. Real faith endures, and it is rewarded. Real faith does not give up because the delay is long. Real faith does not get discouraged and quit because of the disregard for the gospel. Real faith continues on and remains faithful in prayer. Real faith endures and rewarded. You see, the point of Jesus' story is that even an unjust human judge will respond to persistent petitioning. Now, our Heavenly Father is nothing like this unjust human judge. They're nothing alike. And when the judge says, I'm going to do something for this widow lady because she's not going to quit bothering me. Understand this. Our Heavenly Father is never bothered by you when you come to Him in prayer, when you bring your petitions to Him. In fact, He says to come boldly before His throne of grace. But what Jesus tells this story, say, if this unjust man who doesn't fear God and is not a respecter of any person, if persistence produces justice, He's telling us to be persistent, to endure in our petitions. Now, God isn't unjust. He's righteous in every way, and His timing is perfect. But real faith is an enduring, persevering faith, And in part, it is manifested in enduring, persevering, persistent prayer. Why do we pray? To stay faithful. To continue in our walk with Christ. To continue to desire and seek His presence. And to continue to believe that prayer does matter. It makes a difference. You see, God has established persistent prayer as the primary means by which we remain faithful. God has established persistent prayer as the primary means by which we remain faithful. If we are not praying, if we just give lip service to prayer, that is the effect of the cause that we don't really believe that prayer matters. That we don't really believe that talking to God can make a difference. That we don't really want to spend time in Jesus' presence. That we're perfectly satisfied struggling through life trying to do it ourselves, and we don't need Jesus. And while that might not be what the words on our lips are saying, that is what the evidence is when we do not pray. We are giving evidence that we don't really believe and that we don't really want Jesus. Oh, we want, when we've got a problem, we want Him to intervene. When we need something done, we want Him to do what our will. But when we are not praying, we are not exercising our faith. God has established persistent prayer as the primary means in which we remain faithful. So, Jesus told this story to say to us, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. As you wait for me to come, as you see the disregard, you see the unjust people of this world judging you, you see the unjust judges who do not fear God and are not respecters of persons, do not lose heart. The whole message here, where you watch and you wait, and while your faith remains strong and endures, is do not lose heart. Back there at verse 1, He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. You see, there's a connection between always praying and not losing heart. You may have been there. You were praying for, and you may have been very persistent in that prayer. But for God's purposes and for God's kingdom, what you have been asking for has not happened yet. And maybe it's been a long time. Jesus is saying, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Do not stop praying for that lost loved one. That person that you have been praying for maybe for years. So He's saying, don't lose heart. You should always pray. As a church prays for revival, and we're praying, and we've prayed for a week, and we've prayed for a month, and we've prayed for 6 months, and we've prayed for a year, we're praying for revival in a church or in our land, and the revival hasn't come. Jesus is saying, you ought to always pray and not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Keep bringing that petition and that prayer to the Heavenly Father who loves you and wants you to come to Him. They ought always to pray. So be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. I can remember being told by different people through the years not to do this. I've had people tell me, you should have enough faith to just ask the Lord once and then let it go. And just step back and watch and see. Is that really what faith is? You see, God wants a relationship. He wants us to come every day. He wants us to show up at that appointed time. And God wants us to desire Him and to want to be with Him in prayer. Prayer really is our relationship with God. It is the time we spend with Him. And so He says to be persistent in prayer. Just like the widow woman in the story. To just keep coming back again and again and again. And He says, always pray, always, and do not lose heart. So be persistent in prayer and believe that God hears the prayers of His believers. Jesus is telling this story. He's telling it about an unjust judge. He's telling us about a woman who has been somehow taken advantage of and who has an adversary who she has no power. She has no influence. She's just a widow lady. And she needs the court. She needs the judge to intervene on her behalf. And He tells this story to set the example for us that we need to be persistent in prayer. And so we need to understand that Jesus is telling us that our prayers are important to our God. And that's what He's saying there at the end of this when He says, will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Not who cry to Him once and then walk away and say, well, I hope He heard me. I believe He heard me. No, He says, he says, cry to Him day and night. Be persistent. And He says, will He delay long over Him? No, in His perfect timing, He will give justice. And it will be speedy. Now again, that's from His perspective and not ours. So He's saying that God hears the prayers. So when you are hurting and when you are praying, when you've got a burden for somebody or for something, and you have prayed for days and weeks and months, for years, do not lose heart. God is hearing your prayers. So be persistent in prayer. God hears the prayers of His believers. And God acts upon the prayers of His believers. God acts upon the prayers of His believers. If an unjust human judge who does not fear God and is not a respecter of man, if he acts upon the persistent petitions of people, that's the example that Jesus has set up, and He's using it to say to you and to me that God is going to hear your prayers and He's going to act upon them. Now understand this. God acts upon His prayers according to His purposes for His kingdom and His glory. God has His purpose of building His kingdom, and we're asking for something that is not going to work towards His glory and towards His purpose and towards His building of His kingdom and towards His will. We're asking for something that's outside His will. He's not going to change His will just for us. But He's going to bring you into understanding. He's going to bring you into His love and His grace. He's going to comfort you. He's going to encourage you. And He's going to walk through that trial and that difficulty with you every step of the way. And He is going to work it out according to His purpose. All things work together for the good of those who, what? Love the Lord. God takes circumstances that seem to be the greatest nightmare and He works them towards His purposes and His kingdom for the good of His church and His people. So be persistent in prayer. God hears your prayers and God acts upon the prayers of all of His believers. And believe this and trust this. Why do we pray to remain faithful? Because at just the right time, God will give both grace and justice to His believers who pray persistently. Remain faithful. Continue to believe this, that God is hearing your prayers and that God will act. And that at the right time, God will issue His grace and His justice to all of His people who remain faithful through their persistent prayers. Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord, this story that Jesus told, that You will put it in our hearts. You will put it in our hearts and our minds. You'll give us understanding. You'll help us to see how important it is that we pray. That when there are needs in this world, that we should cry out day and night. That as we see a world that has a disregard for the gospel, and we know that we need the gospel message and we need the Spirit, Father, your Holy Spirit to move in the church and in the community, in the nation? Who won't pray a little bit and say, well, I tried. But Lord, that we will remain faithful in believing and in seeking and in looking out to you. So Lord, keep us persistent. Keep us faithful. May we remember these words that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing.